In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, as Father mentioned, today in the course, the source of all your joy this morning is that it is Rogation Sunday. How exciting. Rogation comes from the Latin word rogare, which means to ask. And our English word interrogate comes from that same Latin word. The Rogation days are a very ancient observance in the church's life, actually. Their observance goes back to the year 470, at which time a bishop in the French, or as it was known then, Gaul, in a city in Gaul named Vienne, a bishop named Mermetus instituted the Rogation days. And we know this because his successor, but one, a guy named Saint Avitus, wrote about it, and Avitus's writings come down to us. In a collection of works called the Patrologia Latina, which is a collection of writings of the Latin Church Fathers. And Avitus says that his predecessor, Mermetus, instituted the Rogation days in the year 470. So we know pretty precisely where they originated. And they spread from Gaul to Rome, and from Rome to the rest of the Western Christian world, and eventually to England not long after that. So the Rogations have been observed for a long time. They were, one commentator put it, they were sneakily de-emphasized in the 1979 prayer book. But fortunately for us, the 1928 prayer book keeps the Rogation days, and so do we here at All Saints. There are two rogations, as they say, in the year. And the first is always, the first one is called the Greater Rogation, and it is on April 25th, always, on a fixed day. The Lesser Rogations, as they're known, happen on the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday preceding the Feast of the Ascension, which is always exactly 40 days after Easter. But the date varies because, of course, Easter is always celebrated, as I'm sure you know, on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. Because that cycle, the full moon's not always on the same day. That's why the date of Easter moves around in the calendar. And because the Feast of the Ascension is always 40 days exactly after Easter, always on a Thursday, the date of the Ascension moves around in the calendar. And because the lesser rogations are always the 3 days preceding the Feast of the Ascension, they too move around on the calendar. I'm sure you're taking notes. There will be a quiz next year on the minor rogations. There'll be a quiz. Right. So that's a little bit about the sort of like history and the math associated with the rogations. But what are the rogations exactly? They are essentially, as I mentioned, rogation comes from the word rogare in Latin, which means to ask. So we might ask, what are we asking for? When they were originally instituted by Saint Mermetus in the city of Vienne in 470, it was in response to a series of calamities that had befallen that city. And Saint Amitus mentions specifically that there had been a series of fires in the town and a series of earthquakes. And he also mentions strange noises in the night. So anyway, it sort of frightened the people of the city. They thought the fires, Amitus says, it was as though they were the funeral pyres of the world's funeral. That's how it seemed to the people of the city of Vienne. So Mermetus, their bishop, thought it might be a good idea to pray. So he called the people to pray on fixed days and to ask the Lord to deliver the people from natural calamities. So that's basically what the rogations were about originally. Over time, probably not least because the rogations always occur during the spring season, their observance came to be associated more specifically with the planting of crops, asking God to bless agriculture and agricultural labor, and asking God to grant that the land would bring forth its fruits for our use, and that God would deliver us from intemperate weather, from droughts and floods and hurricanes and things like that, the kinds of natural occurrences that tend to diminish or destroy life and property. During the late Middle Ages in England, it became the custom on Rogation days to sing the litany while processing around the boundaries of the parish. And you notice that we chanted an extract from the litanies at the beginning of this service as a prelude. That's the reason. So in England during the late Middle Ages, they would chant the whole of the litany and other things too as they processed around the boundaries of the parish. I don't mean the parish church building, but the parish in the juridical sense, like the county, you know, the whole town, the boundaries of the town. So it was, they called this beating the bounds. And it was, in essence, sort of a liturgical hiking trip. You know, they'd go through the hills and the fields and so forth and in procession, and they'd carry banners with dragons and lions and things on them and carry incense, and the whole parish would go in procession around the boundaries of the town, beating the bounds. And it led to a lot of revelry, on account of which the clergy in England in the late Middle Ages often wished to suppress the rogations because people were getting drunk and swinging from tree branches and things, and they thought this was perhaps less than edifying. As much as I love traditional liturgical practices, I admit that going on a long outdoor procession this week does not sound like a lot of fun. Early English settlers in the New World were quick to notice the meteorological differences between England and the American Lowcountry of the Southeast. I read one letter from a woman who wrote from South Carolina to friends in England in the year 1711, saying that the South Carolina summer, the experience of the South Carolina summer, could be compared to being baked alive in an oven. And I can relate to that. I struggle enough in the air conditioning here, but being outside on days like today for a long procession in vestments doesn't sound fun. In addition to asking for God's blessing on the crops and for his protection against natural disasters, beating the bounds at the rogations was also a time to meditate on the blessings that come from having bounds, from having boundaries and borders. Blessings like social stability that we're apt to take for granted. And in fact, in the year 1563, the Church of England published a book called the Book of Homilies that's mentioned in the Book of Common Prayer and our Book of Common Prayer and commended as a kind of standard of Anglican doctrine. It was a collection of homilies on various subjects, mostly written by Bishop John Jewell. And there's one sermon in there on the rogations, and he talks about this point, about how not only are the rogations an occasion to ask God to bless the crops and agricultural labor, but also for the Christian people to meditate on the blessing that comes from having borders as they were walking around the borders. I'll just read you an extract from that homily. It's written in archaic English, but we're used to that here. Bishop Jewell writes, "Although we be now assembled together, good Christian people, most principally to laud and thank Almighty God for his great benefits, by beholding the fields replenished with all manner of fruit, to the maintenance of our corporal necessities, for our food and sustenance, and partly also to make our humble suits and prayers to his fatherly providence, to conserve the same fruits in sending us seasonable weather, whereby we may gather in the said fruits, to that end for which his fatherly goodness hath provided them. Yet have we occasion secondarily given us in our walks on these days to consider the old ancient bounds and limits belonging to our own township and to other our neighbors bordering about us, to the intent that we should be content with our own and not contentiously strive for others to the breach of charity by any encroaching one upon another, for claiming one of the other, further than that in ancient rite and custom our forefathers have peaceably laid out unto us for our commodity and comfort." Bishop John Jewell in the Second Book of Homilies in 1563. All of this resonates for us too in our time, or it ought to, and it has, you know, ramifications and so forth. Firstly, in a first order kind of way, it's important for us to remember that God gives good things to those who ask him for good things. In fact, the reading at Matins this morning was Jesus in the gospel saying, "Who among you, if his son or daughter asks for a piece of bread, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a scorpion?" And he says, "And if you know how to give, if you who are evil," he said, right? "If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your heavenly Father give good things and give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? But the trick is that we have to ask the Lord for good things and to remember that he is the source of all good things and only good things, like food and like deliverance from hurricanes and drought. And it's also an opportunity for us to recall that most of us don't provide ourselves with the food that we eat. And so the Rogation Days are also an opportunity for us for solidarity with labor, and particularly with agricultural labor, and to remember that most of us don't grow our own food, but others grow it for us, and in fact labor in the hot sun on our behalf in that respect, for very low wages. Secondly, we have come now to a point in history in which it is appropriate for us as Christians also to acknowledge that our avarice and our greed and envy and our indifference are increasingly the causes of adverse weather and of crop failures throughout the world, and that we are, by our excessive exploitation of the land, of the earth's resources, exacerbating inclemencies of weather and doing a whole lot of other damage to the material creation. Shortly before he died, John Graves, one of the great writers who wrote Goodbye to a River about the Brazos River, right before the Corps of Engineers dammed it, running, Brazos runs through central Texas. Right before he died in 2013, John Graves gave an interview to public radio, or public television, I think it was, actually. And in that interview, Graves recalled when he died at like 93 years old, so he's quite, you know, aged. He remembered sitting on the Parker County Courthouse when he was a young man in central Texas and listening to some farmers talking, and one of them said, "Hell, I done wore out 3 farms in my time." We are doing a lot of damage to the land through carelessness, through ignorance, through avarice and greed. And just so, the conversion of natural habitat into metro sprawl and monocultures has made it practically impossible to hunt wild quail pretty much anywhere between here and western Texas, because the quail just aren't there anymore. And that's a problem. It's especially a problem if you're a quail hunter and enjoy hunting it, as I do. It's a problem, and it's emblematic of deeper, more insidious problems, and sin has caused those problems, and it's incumbent upon Christians to realize that and to meditate upon it. So observing the Rogation Days is an opportunity to remind ourselves of the integral connection, for good and for ill, between the health of our souls and the health of the natural world. Aldo Leopold, the great ecologist, naturalist from Wisconsin, once said that people who live in towns and cities are apt to live under 2 main delusions. The first is that food comes from the grocery store, and the second is that heat comes from the furnace. This is a shorthand way of saying that the way of life that we modern urban people have created for ourselves tends to blind us to our embeddedness within the boundaries and the borders of the natural world. Our modern way of life insulates us from our dependence upon the natural world for our commodities and comforts, as John Jewell said. But the truth is that we are just as dependent upon the natural world, just as embedded within it, as we ever were as humans. And there are more of us now than there have ever been in the world's history. Did you know that it took 200,000 years of human history for the population of the earth to reach 1 billion people, which it did about 1800. 200,000 years to reach 1 billion. It took 200 years more to reach 7 billion. There are more people alive on the earth today than there have been alive on the earth in the rest of human history combined. There are just a lot of us now, so we can't afford to be avaricious and careless and greedy. It's incumbent upon Christians now more than ever to practice the virtues, to practice chastity, temperance, charity, diligence, patience, kindness, and humility, both because practicing the virtues is good in themselves, but also, crucially now, because practicing the virtues is a witness against the ways of life that are encouraged by our culture and that are both sinful and unsustainable. And it's incumbent, too, upon Christians to rogate, to pray, to ask of the Lord. And I would challenge you this week, deliberately, to speak to the Lord and ask him for mercy, to ask him to bless our crops, to bless agricultural labor, and to, you know, bless people who work on behalf of conserving natural resources, and perhaps use the words of the litany. Traditionally, the litany, the prayer book litany, was prayed on the Rogation Days, and it's on page 54 in your Books of Common Prayer. I'm sure you already knew that, but just as a reminder, you might think about praying the litany from the prayer book on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday of this coming week. And indeed, as I say, to ask the Lord that it may please him to bless the lands and the waters and all who work upon them, to bring forth food and all good things needful, and to look with favor upon all who care for the earth, the water, and the air, and the riches of God's creation, in order that they may abound from age to age, and not indeed be destroyed by our civilization's indifference and greed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.